This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, third hour, hour number three here on the show, and there's been a lot of great content today. Wow, the Kaepernick stuff, the Astros stuff. Coming here from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage Wednesday around the country. Tiki is out. He is back tomorrow here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. We'll get into the college football rankings a little bit. Want to finish up on the Astros. And, you know, listen, you know where I stand in terms of what they need to do. And that is levy them with the $2 million fine, which is as high as, you know, you can't go higher than that. So you drop the $2 million, that's nothing, but you have to do that. That's just a given. That's just step one. Then in back-to-back-to-back seasons, so in a sequence of three drafts, they lose their first-round picks. This is what I would do if I'm Manfred. And I would also limit them, not for 3 years, but for 1 year, they cannot participate in free agency, period. You don't like it? Tough. Stop cheating. Stop cheating. You know, that's... I don't think he's going to do that. I really don't know what he's going to do. I am curious what David Sampson thinks. We're going to have David on next segment, CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst here. I mean, this is really serious stuff. It is. Diesel, when you hear stripping the 2017 championship, give me a word that first pops into your head.
Over the top.
That's a couple of words, but fair. So, just... unrealistic, far too punitive. Okay. I agree. I actually wrestled with that this morning. You know?
As I'm listening to you this past two segments, I was of the mindset that this wasn't as big a deal. Now I'm coming around to, man, like, this is serious. Like,
yeah, how did you not think it was serious in the first place?
I mean, I can't prove anything, but I think teams... do stuff like this.
Maybe, that's fine.
Maybe not exactly, and nobody has proof on it. So
show me some evidence.
Can't point the finger at any other organization.
Understood.
But
show me some evidence.
I think it's naive to think that nobody else is doing something similar.
I agree. Show me some evidence. Hey, there's a lot of guys that got in the Hall of Fame who we think were juicing as well, along with a lot of their peers in the 90s and early 2000s. You know what I mean? But there was no test. No, they're in. So, I mean, evidence is a pretty potent thing in our society. It's pretty important. And, you know, just the visual is really incriminating here. And they should be so embarrassed of themselves. I mean, number one, for what happened, you know, last, I guess that would have been now, boy, it's already middle of November. So, I guess 3 weeks ago, roughly, with the reporter and their assistant GM being fired. I mean, that was a circus. They handled that egregiously at first. They completely marginalized the woman. They completely rebuffed the claims. They, no, that's not us. And, of course, it was. The Astros are really in a bad spot right now. They're in a bad spot. I am curious what David Sampson says. He was obviously with the Marlins. He's part of the CBS Sports HQ crew. And he's going to have some answers. He's going to have some answers. And... he is never shy to debate. He is very strong-willed. He is very opinionated. He might totally disagree with me. That might be the best segment this week. I don't know. Or he might totally co-sign it. My guess is, you know, as an ardent baseball person, as a former baseball official, executive, I mean, he'd have to, I would think that he would align himself with me, but maybe not. I'm looking forward to that conversation coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on Tiki and Tierney. So Chase Young will play, by the way. He's going to miss one more game. He'll be back for the Penn State matchup. That's good. That's good. And the college football rankings. You know, the way this is set up. So I just want to have more in front of me here because, all right, here we go. All right. And what's the first thing that jumps out when you see the top 10? Number one, I'm not really sure why Penn State's in front of Oklahoma at this point. I could make a case there. I'm not sure why Minnesota is behind Utah. I do believe Minnesota should be behind Oregon for sure. I could probably make the case, not a very strong one. If I wanted, this would probably be more along the lines of just playing a contrarian. Probably make somewhat of a decent case that Oregon should be in front of Alabama at this point. You could make that case. D-Cell, is that what you were saying?
If Alabama's not going to be in the top four,
mm-hmm.
which coming off the loss to LSU, I don't see how Georgia gets top four over Oregon. I mean, naturally, I think Alabama is the fourth best team in the country right
mm-hmm.
now. But coming off the loss to LSU, okay, they're going to fall to five. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Have to find somebody for the fourth spot. How is it Georgia over
and
Oregon?
Not Oregon. Well, listen, I've been on Oregon's, you know, bandwagon for a couple of weeks now. I said last week I thought it was egregious where they were cast. Teek and I both made a strong case that Minnesota at 17 was a joke, so that's starting to come to fruition. And I believe, listen, there's still enough football. One thing I've learned about this, even though it's a relatively small sample, yes, everybody wants to react immediately. Yes, you see the rankings. You want to have a big-time reaction. Let me go on social media. Let me write this. Let me engage in this debate. It's the middle of November. There's enough football to be played, and there's enough circumstances that will play out where I believe it will yield the results it's supposed to yield. I really believe that. Now, what I think is interesting, because I don't think we've seen this, at least to my recollection, in the short history of the rankings here. Okay, LSU won. I told you they were going to win. That didn't surprise me. But you got to factor in, or do you, Tua's injury. Because think about the old, now this is a while ago, this would have been, I think it was like 2001-ish maybe. Maybe around there. When did Kenyon Martin get hurt? I'm going to say around 2000 or 2001. In round one of the Conference USA tournament, I guess that would be the quarterfinals, they were playing St. Louis, and he rolled his ankle badly right around the foul line, and he got hurt big time. Missed that tournament, and they were the best team in college hoops by far that season, and they reseeded them based on his injury, okay, negatively, and that impacted their seeding. So if Tua was so clearly hobbled, and let's face it, and Tiki did the game, and he's right. I saw it on TV and in the car when I was driving home, and obviously when I rewound it when I got home, but Tiki said it in real time. It almost looks as if he's been instructed not to run. So if rankings, seeding in the NCAA tournament for basketball are impacted by injury, then why wouldn't that also permeate the college football rankings? And if they do, then you're fully justified putting Alabama number five in front of Oregon. See, that's what somebody could use as ammunition to fend off somebody like D-Cell. And even to an extent, I'm just having a conversation, even to an extent myself, where I've been touting Oregon for weeks now, that I believe that they should be among the top four, and I believe eventually they will be, because I don't think they lose another game this season. I haven't been buying Utah. That'll play itself out. Okay. But, you know, if you think Tua was up 75%, when was the last time Tua went 21 for 40? I mean, you know, you could be lazy and say, well, he threw for 400 yards, or you could watch the game and say, this is not the Tua that I've watched for 2 years, because it wasn't, because he was a non-threat with his wheels. And I believe some of his throws were impacted as well, especially early when he was very rusty. So, by the way, I mean, as a consensus, do you believe, Mike, I want to start with you. Do you believe that should be maybe not a primary factor, but certainly a factor of influence in determining the pecking order for the rankings?
100%. I think what ends up getting dicey is a lot of the woulda, coulda, or the will or could happen kind of scenarios that we're looking forward to, because now by having three SEC teams in that top five,
mm-hmm.
we know that LSU or Georgia is going to lose, whether it's in the SEC championship game or possibly before, one of those teams is going to lose, right? So then we start talking about, okay, which SEC team is more deserving? How much weight do you put on Tua not playing in that game? Can Alabama make the college football playoff without even playing in their conference championship game? They're not even the best team in their own division in their
mm-hmm.
own conference.
Well, let's play it out. Okay, let's play it out. So LSU and Georgia play for the SEC championship. Give me the winner. I mean, I know LSU's
LSU
better,
wins.
But okay, so you're going to say that LSU wins, right? Then Georgia's out. Georgia's out. And then based on some of the circumstances, again, you lost
Alabama gets in over Oregon. If Oregon wins out, beats Utah, Alabama gets in. I know Tua was hurt.
They lost by a score.
And the eyeball test.
They lost
Alabama
by a score.
Yeah.
They lost by one
but
score to
LSU. But they
didn't
even play in their conference championship game. Like, there has to be some value
that.
Put.
And there is.
There has to be.
There is.
Yeah, but is
maybe
there?
Not enough to some at that point.
Forget about winning. Like, had Alabama lost in the SEC championship game, that's one thing.
Yeah.
They're not even playing.
Not even getting
it,
there.
Right? So, like, there has to be some value put on these conference championships and on winning a championship.
Yep.
And being the best team in not just your conference, but your division.
I understand that argument.
And
I'm
then
not
you say it's also
that.
Unfair that the two best teams in the country are in the same division or the same conference. I get that, too. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, where do we go from there? And then what happens, let's say, the reverse. Georgia beats LSU. Now, does LSU still get in over Alabama? They beat them.
Obviously, you mean LSU doesn't lose again the rest of the way.
Correct.
LSU loses the SEC championship to Georgia. Is it a close game?
I guess.
Because the
guess,
optics
again,
of that will matter.
Test. Yeah, for sure.
All right, so it's a close game.
Yeah, close game.
Then Georgia's definitely getting in. Yep. LSU's getting in. Alabama's going home. Clemson's in good shape. Oregon's probably left out at that point. And who am I leaving out the top? Ohio State.
Unless Minnesota wins out, beats Ohio State, yada, yada, yada.
Of course. And by the way, I'm happy you bring back Minnesota. I wanted to read you this quote from the committee chairman, Rob Mullins, because this is directly about Minnesota. And then, D-Cell, I think you had something. Don't forget it. I want to bring you back in. He wrote, because a lot of people questioned, you know, were they a little bit lower, actually really higher than higher, meaning in the wrong direction. But that's always confusing. You know what I mean? They were further away from one than they should have been. When you're looking at Minnesota, their schedule was a concern, particularly the non-conference schedule. This is what Rob Mullen said last night. As it laid out through week 10, they'd only played one team in their league that has a winning record. Now, do you believe in the old adage? You can only play who's on your schedule. That's part of it, true. He could also schedule better out of conference, partly his point. The win against Penn State obviously impressed the committee. But the strength, now that's his quote, but I want to dig a little deeper into some of the metrics here. The strength of schedule rankings, right? When you look at this, I know Sagarin, this is in the old days, but just as a tool. Sagarin has a strength of schedule right now where Minnesota's number 70. Number 70. That's highly unimpressive for a Power 5. So, we say, what is Georgia? Georgia's 52. What is Alabama? Alabama's 54. What is Oregon? 30. And that obviously is buoyed by the Auburn game to start the season. And Utah is even 47. Utah is almost 30 slots higher overall conference strength of schedule than Minnesota. So if you want to lean on something tangible and not just reach for stuff and say, well, Minnesota's getting screwed, lean on a weak strength of schedule. And this is coming from a big-time Minnesota advocate. Those are just a couple numbers to chew on.
And just here's another question also. The last thing that we're going to remember of Alabama as we look towards the end of the season, right? They have Mississippi State coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have their like typical FCS cupcake,
mm-hmm.
Western Carolina,
mm-hmm.
before the Iron Bowl in Auburn.
Okay.
So our last few memories are going to be lost to LSU, Western Carolina, and then whatever happens with Auburn. And Auburn's good.
But what if they beat Auburn 50-14? I mean, that's going to be a pretty good memory right there because Auburn's good.
Sure.
So you frame that as a negative. I see that as an opportunity, actually, Mike.
And
if
listen,
you dismantle
ending the season with Auburn is obviously a good thing, right? It's a big deal,
yeah.
Beating Auburn, especially if they blow Auburn out. It's just loss, Mississippi State, Western Carolina, Auburn. And again, it's the Iron Bowl. When you're talking about rivalry games, just you never know what's going to happen, especially
sure.
Malzahn. It could be his last game
absolutely.
Coaching there. There's a lot of
no
stuff
question.
Going on there.
No doubt.
And, yeah, they can make a statement against Auburn. It's just, I don't know.
Okay.
I
but
think
let me ask you,
danger
hold on,
having...
But let me ask you this. If, and I'm not even disagreeing with you. I just think it's interesting to throw different thoughts out. If we want to use, like, you're kind of minimizing Auburn because the way you frame it, Western Carolina, you lose to LSU, Western Carolina, Auburn. Then why are we propping up Auburn as a good loss for Oregon?
It can't I'm not saying that the Auburn game is like a good, it's a good barometer for Alabama.
It's a very good barometer. That's what I think you're under.
No, but what I'm saying though is that like Auburn's 12 in the country. They're a good team.
They're a very good team. They're
sure,
good.
Sure. But like, it's not like they're going to be like Ohio State. One of their last games is Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have a win over like number 7 or 18 that's undefeated, that's different. If they beat Michigan or if they beat Penn State,
yep.
there's a different level of victory there than the number 12 team. And again, Auburn is good.
Yep.
And everyone has played Auburn.
Well, it's
so
a different cachet.
It's kind of like that
it's
similar
a different cachet,
you know, variable.
Year. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just you have Western Carolina in there, and you just. I don't know. I understand the need to throw these FCS teams towards the end of your season, but it's just, I can't imagine having an Alabama team playing for a national title after losing, then playing an FCS team, and then like beating their rival. Like it's just
well, it's
it
not a vintage
like
Bama team. Their defense isn't the same. I have no problem if Alabama doesn't compete for the championship this year. They lost to LSU, and they're on the fringe. And let's leave it at that. They're on the fringe. Diesel, what do you want to squeeze in real quick? Go ahead.
Mike hit on some of the points there. I just think I look at these weekly rankings as almost like breadcrumbs to answer the questions of our what ifs.
100%. It's all tactical, and it is all this is their logistics. They position these like a chessboard.
And I think the committee told us last night if Bama wins out and Oregon wins out, Oregon's not getting in.
That's right, because I don't disagree with that. I do agree.
Which is disappointing to me.
I agree with that as well, obviously, as a proponent of the Oregon Ducks this year. All right, coming up, David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ baseball analyst, former executive for the Marlins. What in the world does baseball do with the cheating Astros? We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years, and you can as well. This month is Visibility Month, so be sure to improve your visibility while driving and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better Drive Safe for Sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulbs or Bosch Focus or Treco Titan wiper blades. The O'Reilly pros will even install your wiper blades for free while you wait. Don't risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly help you find just what you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Come on in, see for yourself, see what's happening, or shop online, O'ReillyAuto.com, O'ReillyAuto.com, O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Of course, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio here, CBS Sports Network, radio.com. By the way, if you missed any of the show, if you missed any segments, if you want to just catch up, Tiki and Tierney, you know how to do it. Radio.com app, cbsportsradio.com, Apple iTunes, million ways to subscribe. And speaking of subscribing, you might want to subscribe to this guy's new show. It looks pretty good. I know he's doing well. Nothing Personal on CBS Sports HQ. And his name is David Sampson, a former executive for the Marlins, back on the show. David, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. You having fun with the show? How's it going for you?
Oh, it's been great. It's every day. It actually wasn't today or tomorrow, so I miss it, but I'll be back on Friday. And it's interesting coming up with content and really taking a different look at some of these trending sports stories. So I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, these are not days to be off with the Kaepernick stuff, which I spent the first hour on, and really the Astro stuff, which is why I want to talk to you. I spent the last hour on this. Okay, you are Rob Manfred. If it is proven, and let's face it, we all watch the hours of video. Of course they did this. So I'm not even going to waste my time with the usage of the word allegedly. What do you do?
First, you got to find out, and that's what Rob is doing now. You got to find out if the owner and the president knew, the owner meaning Jim Crane and then Jeff Luhnow, who runs the baseball operation. In my opinion, everyone knew that they were doing what they did. They needed to buy the equipment. They needed to set up the equipment. Everyone in stadium operations would know that there is some sort of screen being purchased and then put in the dugout area. Everyone on the baseball side, business side, you don't just somehow go to an ATM, take out money and buy a camera or buy a screen. This is all part of a capital expenditure. It's all part of a budgetary process. Mm-hmm. So I assume that everybody knew what was going on. I think you fine the organization if they are found to be guilty of it, because you have to make an example. It's just been a disastrous period for the Astros,
yeah,
both from a PR standpoint and just a big headache for MLB right now.
You know, Dave, what I said before, talking to David Sampson, former Marlins executive, CBS Sports HQ baseball analyst here on Tiki and Tierney, what I said earlier in the show, and I really mean this, if I'm a pitcher, I would rather stand 60 feet 6 inches. I know it's not the perfect equivalent, but you'll see my point. I would rather stand on that slab 60 feet 6 inches away from a hitter, knowing that that hitter is juiced up on Lord knows what, rather than somebody who knows what I'm throwing. Like, to me, that's the lowest form of cheating, what the Astros are doing.
Well, to me, we're always trying to steal signs, and we were always trying to figure out if the pitcher was tipping his pitches, because it's really hard to hit a baseball, and a good pitcher always gets out a good hitter. So you're looking for any advantage you can get. So we're always doing that. What the Astros did is there's a rule in baseball about the use of electronic equipment, and the Red Sox were violating it in 17 and got in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, were the Astros also? And then the question is, did they continue to do it in violation of an MLB rule? But in terms of the gamesmanship of it, don't kid yourself. The Astros are not the only team trying to steal signs.
No, I trust me. I'm aware of that. But until somebody shows me evidence, which I watched in my home office for 2 hours this morning, there are no other teams. I know that there are.
Hold on.
But there are.
Believe me, I do not ever want to defend the Astros. That organization made me crazy when I was running the Marlins for 16 years and in baseball for 18. Mm. Literally drove me crazy. That said, the stuff that we're seeing on the internet with the bangs and the noises in the dugout,
mm-hmm.
that there's an entire Department of Investigations within MLB. They're not looking at internet videos to decide whether the Astros did this. It's going to go a lot deeper.
Understood. Understood.
You know that videos can be doctored. So don't just use the video as proof that something happened.
Understood. But on the most rudimentary level, I mean, the optics are horrendous. When there's no noise, it's a fastball. When there's a bang, it's something soft. Nobody's fooled. Their hands are back like they're hitting off a batting tee, man.
I hear you, and the optics are terrible, and I'm not defending them.
Yeah, I know you're
not. I get what you're saying, but when you run a league, you've got to do a different level of investigation because you've got to run your entire operation evenly and equally. 29 teams may or may not want the Astros to get fined and scolded. They may just want a slap on the wrist because they're doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe MLB has to do a perfunctory punishment. But now every team is on notice. Listen, from now on, we can't tolerate this. But then we're going to move on to the next technology, the next thing that will enable us to get an advantage. That is the nature of sports and business. Every company is looking for an advantage. On your show, are you looking to get an advantage over your competitors? Anything you can do, you'll do.
Of course, but that advantage comes through preparation. There's nothing that I'm not saying I wouldn't do it if there was something I might, but there's nothing that I can do that doctors the ratings favorably for me. I get on the air, I'm either ready to entertain and informed or I'm not. So I can't manipulate anything but my own mind.
But it's just a slippery slope. If you could find out what your competitors are going to talk about and what their take is, and you could then discuss that take or have a different take or somehow a less controversial or more controversial take. My point is that in every business, no matter who does what for a living, you're looking for an advantage, and you're going to go as close to the line as possible. And when you go as close to the line as possible, sometimes you cross over it. Did the Astros willingly cross over a line? Yes, they did. Should they be punished? Yes, they should. But should this be the end of the world where they lose their World Series championship and all of a sudden Alex Bregman's not a good hitter and Carlos Correa and Springer, none of them are good players? That's ridiculous.
Well, I stop short of that as well. And by the way, it's David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, MLB analyst, former executive with the Marlins for years. Of course, I stop short of that as well. But the reason I think this needs to be so punitive, and my recommendation, granted, once they finish and conclude their investigation, which is far more thorough than watching a few videos spliced together, I get that. Whatever, once they conclude their investigation, if it's found that the Astros truly did do this and the upper levels knew about it, number one, $2 million fine, that's a given. That's mere pittance. Number two, now you might think this is radical, but number two, back-to-back-to-back years, first-round pick, gone, and I will not allow you to venture into free agency for 1 year. And I want to get your response, but I want to also tell you this. The reason why I'm doing this, David, I need to dissuade everybody. Number one, if they're not doing it, from doing it, and if they are doing it, to stop doing it. This has to permeate the sport.
So you're talking about a concept of punishment that's called deterrence. And the question is, what kind of punishment would lead to that punishment becoming a deterrent? So let's look at a crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you drink and drive. So if you know that if you drink and drive and kill someone, you go to jail for 12 to 20 years, is that a deterrent to ever getting behind the wheel when you've had a drink? Or do you say, hey, it's never happened to me, I'll never get caught.
Depends on
I'll
the person.
One drink and I'll be fine.
It depends on the person.
I'm sorry?
It depends on the person.
Exactly. So it depends on the franchise. So you can't do a punishment that will have a deterrent impact on all of the other 29 teams. It's just not going to happen.
Go ahead, Dad.
As far as your punishment is concerned, I love it. The only one that can't work is the free agency one because the players' union would never approve a punishment that would have a quashing sort of result on free agency, so they wouldn't allow it. Using first-round picks, you'd have the agents sort of chiming in because that's money that should be first-round money going to a player that would not be going to a player. So you sort of have to figure out who would get those picks if it's not going to be the Astros, or how to keep the same number of picks in the first round at a minimum. And as for $2 million, you're right. That is not the end of the world. It won't feel good to anybody to lose that type of money, but that's about right for the fine.
Okay. You know, while I have you, it's David Sampson, former Marlins executive, CBS Sports HQ, baseball analyst here. I want to ask you your opinions on Gabe Kapler and the Giants. What do you think about that hire?
Yeah, I didn't like the hire. I think they're going to be undergoing a managerial search, and I talked about it on CBS HQ last night. I think they're going to go under another search here in another year or two. Kapler was overmatched both during the nine-inning game and also before and after the game. He couldn't manage his roster properly. He didn't have control of that clubhouse properly. And if, right now in San Francisco, he's going into a worse situation where there is a team that they don't know if they're rebuilding. They don't know if they're trying to win. If they've got Posey, they're getting rid of Baumgartner now. Maybe they'll sign him. I just think that that is a hire that doesn't surprise me, given the existing relationships with the front office. But it's sort of blind to the reality of why Kapler failed. This is not like Joe Torre failing with the Mets, and then being great with the Yankees. This is not like that.
Yeah, Joe just had a dearth of talent. You're saying that Gabe Kapler simply is not good at the basic components of being a manager.
He didn't have a dearth of talent with the Phillies.
Wow, that is a scolding. That is a scathing assessment. Wow, that's interesting. Who would you have hired? If you're running them, who would you have hired?
I would have hired Joey Espada out of their finalist group. I had him with the Marlins. He's smart. He works with the front office. He has a very good rapport with the players. He's very good on the infield. He's done every job before. And you're going into a situation in San Francisco where you've got to be in lockstep with your front office, but also understanding of what's real and what's not. And he can run a game. Joey Espada can run a game. I just haven't seen that from Kapler. But wait to see. Listen, wait to see. That's my pick.
Hashtag, of course, wait to see. I got you, man. Hey, listen, nothing personal. I know it's off to a good start. It's starting to get traction. I well know I've done a lot of shows in the past where you launch something. It takes a little time to get it going, but you've got big opinions. You're smart. And I can see that. I see it just growing the imprint on social media. So I think it was a great addition for the company. I know you're having fun with it, and it's a good look for you, man. So I wish you well. You know that.
Hey, I appreciate it. Always fun to be on with you.
All right, David. I appreciate it, buddy. I'll talk to you soon, man. Wow, how about that? Gabe Kapler basically said he's horrendous at everything. He said he's bad at everything. He said he's bad during nine innings. He's bad before the game, and he's bad after the game. But he's good playing cards on the bus, man. He loves playing Texas Hold'em. He's fun. Wow. All right. Ack.
How are you?
What's going on, buddy?
Not much.
What do we got tonight? College top 25. What am I watching? Anything good?
Not real. The Big East, the Gavitt game.
Villanova's playing tonight. I know that.
Villanova, Ohio State.
Yeah. Did you see any of the Oregon game last night against Memphis?
I did not.
Yeah, Memphis wound up losing. The kid played Wiseman, obviously. All right, busy times. Axe update is coming up. We'll get the blast after that. Rich Ackerman right now, everybody. Here's Rich. Okay, Tiki and Tierney here. Time to answer or ask the pros question of the day. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is coming in from, Justin Machado. Twitter handle is JUJU_Machado49. All right, guys, after the great NFC West showdown on Monday, where do you rank Jimmy G among the NFL quarterbacks? That's a good question. I would say off the top of my head, I would say just outside of the top 10, probably in that 11, 12, 13 range, and that's probably a pretty good starting point. You know, could go up or down a slot. I don't think he'd go much further back than that, but that's a healthy number. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, so I'll finish up with some more thoughts on how we started the show. Colin Kaepernick, let me just look at this now, just to answer that, because now I'm curious where I would rate him exactly. Let me just look at all the teams. So Brady, Brady, Lamar Jackson, a healthy Big Ben, Deshaun Watson, no order. Mahomes, I wouldn't put Rivers there anymore. I'd put Derek Carr there right now. Derek Carr is playing better than he is. That's six. Carson Wentz is seven. Dak, go back and forth on Dak. I'll put him aside for a moment. So I'm at seven. Then I'd go Stafford, Rodgers, Kirk Cousins. I think if they're given similar talent, I think Garoppolo's more talented. I know he's more talented. I'm not going to put Cousins in front of Jimmy G. That's nine. I'm going to go with Drew Brees. I'll give him one more year of the nod, but Drew's a little shaky. That's 10. Definitely Russell Wilson, 11. If I put Dak on the list, he's 13. If I don't, he's 12. So, yeah, right around what I said is pretty much what I would do. All right, Mike, ready to blast away so I can finish up with some Kaepernick stuff? Let's go. See what you got today.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
So we saw on Monday night the 49ers lost a close game. A lot of drop passes that led to missed first downs or even interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Shanahan was not happy with his wide receiver drops after the loss.
You got to count on guys. And I think some guys made a bunch of good plays out there, but the drops were pretty obvious. We had some big ones, some big moments, and those guys got to bounce back.
Then he put wide receiver Dante Pettis on blast.
He's had a number of opportunities. The more he doesn't take advantage of his opportunities, the less opportunities he gets. But he did get a couple last night because of injury, and I didn't think he made them. So we'll see how this week goes, but Dante has the ability. But we're waiting for him to pick it up and have the consistency and take advantage of some of these opportunities he's gotten.
Ouch. So is this good motivation for his wideouts, or is he just throwing the whole core under the bus?
Well, listen, you know, I usually veer more toward the old school side. I have no problem with this. I don't think it's incredible. I don't think throwing him under the bus. I mean, it's an honest assessment. You watch the 49ers. You saw Pettis play poorly. You saw the wide receivers have a couple of drops, including Sanders early before he got hurt. I like this. Now, you better know the locker room, because somebody like Pettis will either wilt or he'll respond to this. And quite frankly, if he wilts, then he's not what a 49er is supposed to be in Shanahan's eyes. So I have no problem with this. You know, the worst thing that you can do is to not let people know where they stand. If people can't handle where they stand, that's on them, not on me, or not on the coach in this instance.
Know how much you love our head coach, Adam Gase?
Adam Gase.
Well,
crazy
our awesome and amazing, brilliant CEO, Christopher Johnson.
Good old Nutty Eyes.
Talked about Mr. Gase's future with the Jets.
I want to assure you, there will be no changes in coaches here. Adam has the trust of this team. He has the trust of Sam. He has Joe's trust. He has my trust.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good man. He's a good coach.
All right, what are your thoughts about Gase staying coach of the Jets for the rest of the year and potentially into 2020?
All right, this will not be popular with Jets fans, but I'm actually okay with it. I'm probably going to surprise you with this because, listen, change is just, after a while, it's destructive. It's counterproductive. You need some continuity. I mean, Sam Darnold hurt his ankle last year. Obviously, it was Todd Bowles. But Sam Darnold didn't play an entire season last year. He missed a couple of games this year with mono. He played great against Dallas. I mean, the Patriots threw him into a whirlwind for a couple of weeks. He came back and played very clean football and effective football against, granted, a bad Giants team, but he played well. Sam Darnold believes in Adam Gase. You have to give him 1 year with a real offensive line. I don't like his communication methods. It's a little strange how he projects. He doesn't look into the camera. I don't like concealing your eyes with a hat. I don't like that. But from a football point of view, to just keep having a turnstile at that front door is not good. I'm actually strangely, oddly, surprisingly okay with that.
So the Bulls have tried to defend Lauri Markkanen's poor play this season to him having a sore oblique.
Yeah, I like this guy. I always defend him.
And he had a huge game one. And then since then, his points, rebounds, field goal, and three-point percentage are way down.
Yeah.
Are you buying the excuse, or is Markkanen regressing?
No, he's hurt. His PER is under 15. He's not healthy. He's settling. He's not attacking the rim. He's just, you know, I watched him last night against the Knicks, and I've watched him in other games this year. He doesn't seem to be very explosive, doesn't seem to be very decisive, doesn't seem to be very willing to attack the way he did, certainly as a rookie. I like him. He's long. He's got pretty good instincts, and he is a much better player than 38% overall. and way below 30% from downtown. He's a borderline all-star, I believe. But so what you're seeing right now is a bit of a mirage, but it's attributable to an injury, not because he's regressing or because he's soft. Marketing can play.
So we discussed yesterday whether James Wiseman would or should play for Memphis. Well, he did, and it didn't matter because they lost to Oregon. He scored just 14 points in the loss. Do you think this whole scandal could actually be hurting Wiseman's play and maybe even potentially his draft stock?
No, definitely not the draft stock. They don't care about that. Like, if Chase Young didn't play another snap for the Buckeyes, which he will, we think, even though, you know, he's been cleared, he's got to sit once more, and then he'll come back. I think it's against Penn State. Like, look at Bosa. I mean, come on. Draft stock is completely independent.
I only mean, if he's playing poorly, possibly because of the distraction or all the things that are going on in his head.
Okay, fair clarification. I got you.
If he's playing poorly, then maybe teams are like, well, maybe he's not the guy we thought he was.
Well, listen, let's say this. Remember Bowl from Oregon? There was a point he was a top three projection at this point last season. Things are fluid. I mean, just because people put out I believe that this young man is different. I watch his defensive prowess, how he blocks shots and contorts his body without fouling. That's a skill. That's a veteran skill. And he's tall, and he's going to pack on 20 pounds of muscle. He's probably going first. I love the kid as a player. Oregon's good, by the way. Oregon's a top 15 team. Don't lose sight of that. That's number one. Number two, I think that these kids, we care more about the situation than he does. I don't think they care about this. He's gonna be a pro, and he's going to be gazillion dollars richer in a couple of months than he is now. So it's not a big deal. It's really not. You know, the issue is whether or not Memphis should play him, as Tiki and I got into yesterday. I think that's a little cavalier. But Wiseman being impacted, young kids don't process things like we do. He doesn't care. He's just playing ball.
So more Arkansas coaching news after we talked about the firing of their head coach. Now there's report that Gus Malzahn, who's been on the hot seat for a couple of years in Auburn, even though they've actually been pretty good, is one of the favorites to fill the position. And Auburn is preparing as if there's a chance Malzahn might actually leave. He has a huge buyout.
Yes.
But if he chooses to leave, that's a different story.
Yeah, and it'll be offset, so Arkansas can use that and leverage it how they pay him, sure.
So knowing that Malzahn has been on the hot seat, knowing that his job security there in Auburn is not necessarily rock solid.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the right move for him to leave and go to Arkansas?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because there would be a deeper appreciation for any level of success at Arkansas than there is at Auburn. I mean, Auburn's good, and they're still not satisfied. So, I mean, come on. The guy, I know it was a while ago, but he was the SEC chief. I mean, the guy won the coach of the year. That was 2013. The guy's got 30 more wins than losses. It's a beast of a conference, man. You go to Arkansas, you go to a middling bowl to start, they're going to throw a parade for you, man. And they're going to appreciate you. And whatever you accomplish there will be glorified and not chastised. So if he wants a little more personal joy, extract a little more fun from his from his job, that's probably the move. Yeah.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right. So, Kaepernick, if you missed anything, just go to radio.com. I'll reset it briefly here, but we're almost out of time. You're going to certainly want to get the first hour today and all the Astro stuff. But the first hour is all Kaepernick. And you can just get that on radio.com, CBSSportsRadio.com, Apple iTunes. Download. It's free. Make sure you stay in touch with Tiki and Tierney. All right. Do I believe it's a PR ploy? Yes, as I said in the first hour of the show. But I think it's also important to realize that from that PR ploy, something very positive can develop for Colin Kaepernick. Now, the circumstances are incredibly fishy. Number one, he was given 2 hours to determine if he wanted to go. We know about the Saturday. Logistically, a Saturday, every important scout, you know, is dispatched to various college stadiums around the country. Who's going to be there? I don't know. I mean, I know I have a list of teams that will be there, but in terms of decision makers, who will be there? Listen, I think it's important to realize this. He's going to spin it well. He's going to measure well. He's going to run reasonably well because he's that lean, quick twitch athlete. Didn't put on weight. You know, like if even if Dak went a year and a half or so without, I could see maybe Dak. You know, what kind of shape? Because he's just a big, strong, thick person, like Culpepper back in the day. He's lean. He'll be fine. He'll check all those boxes. How does the interview go? And is he true to himself? And I believe he will be because he's been nothing but that. And if he is, will teams be receptive to his message at this point? Can't answer that. Every team is different. And I think what you have to realize is Saturday is a laboratory for a future date with other teams to get in their building specifically when the real decision makers are there. Sit down, converse, look people in the eyes. Obviously, throw the football, do what you have to do there. And let's flush through this here. I mean, he's in his early 30s, so time's ticking. Is he better than half of these scrubs who are playing, or some of these scrubs? Yeah, he is. He is. I mean, come on. Brian Hoyer plays meaningful football. Give me a break. But it's an interesting step. It's unexpected. And hopefully it has an ending that's happy and satisfying for everybody. It's been a weird saga. Tegan, I'll pick this back up tomorrow. You have a good night. Peace. Gotta go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.